Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast number 39 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. Congratulations to Stan Wawrinka for winning his first U.S. Open and third Grand Slam singles title overall. In part two of our U.S. Open postmortem, we discuss the men's game. Are we now looking at a new Big Three in Djokovic, Murray, and Wawrinka? Can Del Potro make it back into the top five? Can Rafa win another major? Let's start with Djokovic. Back in January in Podcast 1, I talked about Djokovic's pursuit of Federer's record 17 Grand Slam singles titles. I said then and maintain today that Djokovic could catch him if he could stay healthy. What we've seen since Djokovic won the French Open in May is that, well, he is human. Aside from some mental fatigue, Djokovic has had issues with his shoulder, arm, and wrist. And in the U.S. Open final versus Wawrinka, we saw Djokovic dealing with some toenail issues. But no excuses here. Injuries and staying healthy are really a part of the game, plain and simple. I also mentioned in Podcast 1 that Djokovic would have to win 6 of the next 8 majors, which would give him 16 majors, leaving him only one shy of tying Federer heading into 2018, when he would be 30 years old, going to 31. At the time of Podcast 1, which was prior to the Australian Open, Djokovic's Grand Slam singles titles totaled 10. After winning the first two majors of the year and getting to 12, Djokovic's pursuit of Federer's record has now stalled. And if he is to have any chance of catching him, he's going to have to mentally regroup, recharge, and recover from the recent issues that have plagued him over this final third of the 2016 season and be ready to win at the year's first major in Australia in January. Djokovic's recent losses have, put, I think, more than just a little dent in what seemed to be an impenetrable aura through the first two majors of the year. So we'll see if he can regain his dominant form in the fall swing and year-ending tournaments, as he has done in past years. Wawrinka has played Djokovic very tough in their recent head-to-head matchups. In their last seven meetings, Stan is 3-4, with all three wins coming at Grand Slams that Stan eventually won. Now, I won't go as far as to say Stan has Novak's number, but it's evident that he is not intimidated to play Djokovic or anyone for that matter. The key for Wawrinka moving forward is that he's got to get through those early and mid-round matches when he may not yet have found his best form for that tournament. I mean, there's no doubt Wawrinka can rise to the big occasions, but he's got to continue to get deep into big tournaments and give himself those opportunities to win on the biggest stages. At 31 years of age, Wawrinka is playing some of his best tennis and appears to still have quite a bit left in the tank. He has the game to win any of the majors and is now, believe it or not, only a Wimbledon title away from becoming the ninth man to complete a career Grand Slam. Hopefully, we will continue to see more of this exceptional level of play from Stan this fall and into 2017. Regarding Andy Murray, he was the hottest player heading into the U.S. Open. After winning Wimbledon and then a gold medal in Rio, Murray was the favorite of many to win the U.S. Open. But he lost a grueling five-setter in the quarterfinals to an inspired Kei Nishikori, so we did not get to see how a Murray-Lendl 2.0 would have fared against Djokovic in a major final. You know, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, I think fans really do want to see just how good Murray-Lendl 2.0 is or can be versus the number one player in the world in Djokovic. Perhaps we'll get to see that in Australia. Juan Martín Del Potro. Gosh, what more can we say? It's great just to see Delpo back on a tennis court after all the potential career-ending wrist surgeries. The fact that Del Potro was playing at such a high level so soon after returning to competitive play is great for him and great for tennis. As we saw in Rio and then again at the U.S. Open, Del Potro has still got that monster forehand, and he will continue to be a very dangerous player in the mix in every tournament he plays if he stays healthy. What Del Potro is going to need to do as he continues this comeback is, number one, continue to get stronger on the backhand side, especially with that two-hander, and number two, adjust his court position accordingly. While the one-handed slice and chip have been fairly effective for him, we saw how Murray in Rio and most recently Wawrinka at the U.S. Open exploited Del Potro's weaker wing and subsequent court position by pulling him wider and wider on that backhand side, and then either following the shot into net and finishing with a volley or hitting into the open court off of a weak reply, knowing that Del Potro could not or was not yet comfortable hitting the two-hander with a lot of pace. Moving forward, Del Potro is going to have to find a way to close up this hole in his defense if he's to get back into the top five. I just think the players these days are simply too fast, too strong, and too skilled not to be able to exploit a player, even Del Potro, who is playing without his typical full complement of weapons. As far as Rafa Nadal goes, Nadal looked to be in very good physical shape as he continued his return from a wrist injury that forced him to withdraw during the first week of the French Open in May. Rafa had only returned to live action recently, competing in Rio, where he won the gold medal in men's doubles with Mark Lopez and reached the semifinals of the men's singles, where he lost to Del Potro. Despite the good results in Rio, you know, I did not expect much from Rafa at the U.S. Open because I didn't think he had played enough matches to be in top physical and mental form. Thus, Nadal's tough five-set loss in the fourth round to Lucas Puig, a very talented young player from France, wasn't all that surprising to me. As I mentioned in previous podcasts, Rafa seems to have made a key adjustment in his court position to mitigate having to scramble to cover that wide forehand. This adjusted court position does require Nadal to hit more backhands, which seems to be fine by him. The key is whether Nadal believes he can beat the top players with this new court position and the fact that he's got to hit more backhands. The fact is, he doesn't have much choice. Nadal is 30 years old, and the years of playing his punishing, super physical brand of tennis has taken its toll, most notably on its quickness and court coverage. The adjustment in court position, which puts him a step or two closer to the center but still on the backhand side, will definitely spare him from having to cover as much court as he's used to. If you recall, he used to camp out really closer to the backhand corner to run around and hit forehands. But for Rafa, it's a matter of first things first. He's got to stay healthy during this stretch run of the 2016 season if he hopes to build and carry any momentum into 2017. If he can do that, then I believe he will be a legitimate contender in the majors next year. But that said, let's face the reality. Both Nadal and Federer are on the backside of their careers. Federer is 35 years old and will be out of action until 2017. While he may still be a top 5 caliber player if and when he returns, it's unlikely he will be able to add to his Grand Slam total. So it's certainly not a stretch to consider that there is a new big three now in Djokovic, Murray, and Wawrinka. I doubt, though, that this new big three will be as dominant at the majors as the previous big three, which was Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. The previous big three won a staggering 31 of 33 Grand Slams played from Wimbledon 2004 through Wimbledon 2012. Nevertheless, the new big three have an impressive run of their own going. I mean, they've won the last 8 Grand Slams and 11 of the last 14. Over the next few months, we're going to learn a lot about the state of the physical and mental games of Djokovic, Murray, and Wawrinka. We'll also continue to see whether Del Potro and Nadal, can continue their climb. So we'll have to see. Stay tuned. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.